Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, we love having all the teams in this town, don't we? But what we've had a shortage of in recent years are long postseason runs. Times when teams take over and you just get on for the ride. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Extended Coverage, the Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies, right here on WCCO. I'm Mike Max. Tonight is a big sports night across the board. So big, we needed two stations to bring it to you. The Timberwolves game 2 against Memphis here on WCCO. The Twins and Kansas City Royals game 1 on 102.9 The Wolf. Both can be found on the Odyssey app as well. Chris Archer making his second start for the Minnesota Twins tonight against the Royals. He was very good in Game 1. Yes, the playoffs are different. They bring out something different in a city, in a state. That is heightened when the underdog wins Game 1 on the road. The Timberwolves did just that by beating the Grizzlies Saturday afternoon. With that came the resurgence of the Wolves. The fan base has never left this franchise. They just have not participated in droves over the past 18 seasons. Why would they? There was hope when Tom Thibodeau built a team with a talented trio. Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Jimmy Butler were the foundation pieces, with Jeff Teague playing the point. They made the playoffs, but it was brief, losing the first two on the road to Houston. There was little hope by the time they returned to Target Center, winning just one game in the series. But in 2022, there is more hope. Win or lose tonight, the Wolves own the home court. And when they return to Minneapolis on Thursday night for Game 3, win or lose tonight, the rafters will again reverberate like they did in 2004 when they went all the way to the Western Conference Finals, before Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, and the Los Angeles Lakers did them in 6 games. Like they did when the Wolves came from behind to beat the Los Angeles Clippers in the play-in game just last week. The Wolves might not be ready to compete in the Western Conference, at least in the finals, but win this series, and they will be taken seriously as contenders next season. Win the game tonight, and they will become the darlings of the NBA dance, and yes, that matters. That matters much in these parts, because we have been starved for a good NBA basketball team, and in a state that loves basketball, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been up and down, and in recent years they haven't really piqued the interest, at least not sustained it for any amount of time, but it looks like there is a new big three on the block: D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and Karl-Anthony Towns. They could take this team places it has never been before, and if it's right, and that might depend a lot on D'Angelo Russell, they make take this team on their backs for the next 3 to 5 years. At least that's the hope. Game 1, the Timberwolves came out and played with great energy. They scored 41 points in the first quarter. They made it look like a pickup game at times. That set the stage for an interesting second half, when you kept waiting for Memphis to make a run, but they never did. They never overtook the underdog Timberwolves. So now you move to Game 2. Everybody knows if you win this one and you're the Timberwolves, you're sitting pretty. traditionally, teams have struggled underdogs in game two, especially when they're on the road. And they're always on the road when they're the underdogs. Chris Finch has watched this team, though, and what he believes is what we've seen. This team has a swagger. They come out each and every game, and they're not afraid of the opponent. In fact, sometimes they entice them. Sometimes they bring the energy, and they bring the fight figuratively and literally to the other team. But with that comes a sense of confidence. Finch was asked about that at this morning's shoot-around.
We've been a confident team all season. Even when we've been not playing our best, we remain confident. We have a pretty short memory loss. That's good for wins and losses. We're going to need to put that game one behind us and go out and do it all over again.
In the midst of that is the mild-mannered Finch. He shows very little emotion and, as a matter of fact, about most things. I'm told inside the organization he is treated with great respect because he treats other employees, no matter what their role is, with great respect. And he does the same with the team. Gives them days off, gives them rest, and gives them respect. Now, he's got some talented players on this team, and certainly in game one, Anthony Edwards stole the show. He was like a comet. Every once in a while, you'll see a rookie that steps onto the court and does something special. Edwards is in his second year, but last year was COVID. This year, he's had a chance to entertain fans across the country. The biggest thing about Edwards is he doesn't mind the situation. He doesn't mind the spotlight. In fact, he enjoys it when the game is on the line. He enjoys it when his team has to go on a run in the fourth quarter and try to find a way to win. It doesn't seem to bother him much when things don't go his way. There was a game earlier this season where he didn't shoot the ball well for the third straight game. And after the game on the court at Target Center, those few that were left found Anthony Edwards, taking jump shot after jump shot, trying to get it right. But there is no question that he plays with an air, that he plays with a confidence, and that he doesn't feel the pressure that can be magnified during playoff time.
I treat every game the same, so I don't feel any different. It's like a regular season game to me. For me, it's just the first game, so I hope there's more to come. Yeah, put on another show. That's it. Put on another show and impact winning.
The most interesting study over the last week has been Karl Anthony Towns. He did not have a good game in the play-in game against the L.A. Clippers, in large part because he was in foul trouble early, and he seemed to get caught up in the emotion of the game. And so you wondered how he'd come back, how he'd bounce back in Game 2 of the postseason for him, Game 1 in the series. Some would suggest that Game 1, the play-in game, was exactly what he needed, that it got him focused on the task at hand. That it made him fully aware of who he was and how much they depended on him and that they were going to have to run this offense through him. Well, he responded and played a very solid game one in the Wolves' win. He said he was happy, at least so far so good, with the Memphis series and his performance.
I just really feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. That's why I like act like it's something that should be abnormal. It should be like, wow, I did that. Like that's what I should be doing on a nightly basis, especially now. I shouldn't be happy about having a game like I had.
And that might be the beginning of an interesting career going forward for Karl Anthony Towns. Now, there are always X factors in these series. Players that, if they play well, could turn the balance of it. If you assume the superstars will offset each other, then you look for that second tier of players. Players that have performed, but maybe not consistently during the year. Malik Beasley fits that bill. He's a very good shooter sometimes, but not all the time. He's got a feel for the game, and he's a veteran. Spent some time with the Denver Nuggets and has played in the playoffs before. But this playoff means a lot to him because he wants to prove that he's worthy of moving up a slot in the NBA. And he says right now he feels ready.
We're ready for war. You know, we're not scared of anybody. And, you know, we've been through a lot of adversity, and we're ready to fight, you know, for what we deserve. I feel like we're ready to compete for a championship.
He and Patrick Beverley may determine that outcome. Both will be leaned on tonight, and from time to time, you'll see Beasley come in and make one, two, three three-pointers in a row. That can change the tenor of a game, but what changes now is he makes one, two, three three-pointers in a row, and it can change an entire series. He's not afraid to take the big shot, neither is Beverley. But for Beasley, you have to understand that he's seen some of this before. He understands the competition. And he says this could be, this based on what he's seen from this Timberwolves team, the beginning of a long postseason run.
Absolutely. You know, we're not coming to playoffs just to get in the first round. We're going for a championship. But honestly, it takes one game at a time, and that's what we're focused on. We're not looking at the long run. We're looking at one game at a time.
And that one game is tonight in Game 2. Throughout the show, we'll take your texts and phone calls, 651-461-9226. Is this the best Timberwolves team potentially ever in the franchise's history? And how do you feel about tonight's game? Can you give us a prediction, a score, and how long you think this series will last? Text us or call us anytime at 651-461-9226. That's 651-461-9226. We have a big show ahead for you. Kevin Lynch, he played in the NBA playoffs. In fact, he played against Kevin McHale in his last game for McHale in the NBA playoffs. We'll visit with him. He breaks it down for Bally's, of course, on a regular basis, and from us from time to time on the radio. We'll also visit with the longest tenured employee for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's almost a historian as well. He's seen the ebb and flow of this franchise. We'll chat with Jeff Muneke. Last night, we got some thoughts from Pooh Richardson and some interesting thoughts at that on how Karl Anthony Towns has evolved and how the Timberwolves have evolved as a team, as a franchise, and what might be expected of them in this series with Memphis and going forward over the next several years. It is the Timberwolves in Memphis. It is Game 2 of the first round of the NBA playoffs, and there is nothing like the playoffs, not in the NBA, not in any major league sport, and we've got you covered on WCCO Radio. When we come back, Kevin Lynch gives us his thoughts on this season, on this team, on what it will take specifically tonight in Game 2. You're listening to the home for the Timberwolves, News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Kevin Lynch, as the Timberwolves prepare tonight to play the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 2. Kevin, first of all, thanks for joining us. Of course, you'll be working with Bally Sports as well, but take me through Game 1. What did you see from the Timberwolves in Game 1?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that I saw out of the Wolves was just how they started the game, just playing like they belonged and playing like they meant business and playing like, I mean, they took it to Memphis, and granted, Memphis hadn't played in a week, so, I mean, there was a good, I thought if the Wolves could win a game in this series on the road, it could be Game 1. That would be their opportunity, and that's exactly what happened. They got off to the good start. They just were in sync, and they'd played more recently than the Grizzlies, and Towns got going, Edwards got going, and they were able to hold on. So, I mean, maybe that was the biggest thing I noticed, Mike, was they got off to a good start, and there was no nerves or jitters, and they took it to Memphis right off the bat, and that's a good sign.
What do you anticipate then happens in Game 2 based on Game 1 as we get into the chess match of basketball?
Well, yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I think the Grizzlies are going to, number one, play a lot better, and they're going to try to take it to the Wolves. And one thing that I think, Mike, that the team that's going to win this series, because let's face it, these are even teams. I don't care what the seeding is. The Wolves in Memphis, it's a toss-up. I mean, I think Minnesota's just as good as Memphis. So, but I think the team that takes care of business on the boards, that wins the rebounding battle in more games, is going to be the team that advances. And the Wolves out-rebounded the Grizzlies by 11. That was a good sign. And plus they made a ton more threes. So if the Wolves can keep shooting like that, make some threes, and control the glass, I think they're going to be in good shape.
Tyus Jones, what do you think of his role with the Grizzlies?
Hey, I tell you what, Tyus Jones has had a sneaky and quiet, excellent season, and his contract is up, Mike, and he's going to sign another nice contract. You know, probably not going to be for $150 million, but he's had a really good season as far as just taking care of the basketball. He's a good outside. He's a significantly better three-point shooter than his brother, who plays for San Antonio. But, he's had a good season, and he's going to sign a nice deal coming up this summer. I don't know if it'll be with Memphis or somebody else, but smart. He doesn't make mistakes. He's played like he always has. When he was an eighth grader in Apple Valley, he just played beyond his years. He didn't make mistakes. God, that has just translated in college at Duke, and that's translated in the NBA, too. So he's a really important player for Memphis, and I'm happy for Tyus Jones because he's an excellent kid.
Kevin Lynch, everybody asks you about Anthony Edwards on a daily basis. You've seen him since he came in. Praise Anthony Edwards in year two at age 20 for us.
Well, it's impressive what he's done the last couple games. The first half of the season, this season, he was explosive and he was having some big scoring games. And it seems like he was on his way to maybe having an even better second half. But the second half of the season, to me, was a little up and down. And there were some games he was kind of a non-factor, so which was surprising because that's the first we've seen of him play like that. But just a natural score. My concern a little bit is he dominates the ball a little bit too much isolation. But at the same time, in certain games, you kind of need that skill where Towns is getting shut down and Russell is not scoring, and you need somebody to step up and have a big offensive game, and he's capable of doing that. So and he's developing as a defensive player. He's not a bad playmaker, too. And he's just an exciting, athletic, attacking offensive-minded wing player at 20 years old. So, yeah, you kind of like where he's going. And it seems like these big moments don't bother him too much. I mean, from regular season into the play-in to the playoffs, he's handling this pretty impressively.
What does Malik Beasley mean to this team?
Shooter, scorer, kind of that offensive, firepower off the bench. And he's hot or cold. When he's hot, he can step in and get you 25, and he's kind of turning into that Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick type of guy who just comes in and takes 15 shots and 14 of them are threes. And if he makes them, then he's a nice weapon to have. So, yeah, he's that sniper type of guy coming off the bench.
You played in the playoffs in Kevin McHale's final game with the Boston Celtics when you were with Charlotte. Yeah, trivia question, right? Two Minnesotans at the same time. How is playoff basketball different? Is it just that there's fewer possessions and less risk?
Fewer possessions and that's a good question. It seems like one thing that people don't talk about enough when it comes to NBA playoff basketball is games are spread out a bit more. You don't have back-to-backs or four games in 5 days. So coaches typically will play their main guys a bit more minutes because you have a day or two of rest in between. So they a lot of times they tighten up their rotation. But especially when you get past the first round into the semifinals of the West or the East, it's really good teams that play good defense, and it's the game slows down. You play a lot more half court type of action, and which is going to be interesting for the Wolves if they can get by Memphis. Can they win games in the playoffs against a good team when they've been slowed down and then they're in a half court situation? Which will be interesting. But it's a lot more defensive minded. The game slows down, and that's what comes to mind when I think of playoff basketball.
Chris Finch, first time through as a head coach of a playoff team in the NBA. What have your impressions been of Chris Finch?
I like him, and I'm not just saying that to sell the product. Now, I do like Chris Finch, Mike. He seems very genuine, and it seems like his communication with his players, whether it's Towns or whether it's Jake Layman or whoever who's not playing very much, communication's always open. He gives the impression that he cares about his players, and they go to bat for him, which is really interesting. So they really like this guy. So I think he's a good coach. I like the fact that he's just not been in the country club forever, and he's had to kind of pay his dues around the globe as far as learning how to coach. And I respect that. It's not just a former star NBA player and gets a head job right off the bat and it just lives the good life. This guy's had to pay his dues, and I think he's a smart guy, and I like what he's doing. I believe he's a good coach.
Well put, Kevin Lynch, and you're a good man. Thank you so much for giving us some time. We'll look for you on Bally's tonight.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it, Mike.
You bet. Kevin Lynch, nice enough to join us. The Timberwolves in Memphis, we've taken you up to a 7 o'clock pregame, a 7:30 tip-off. It doesn't get much better than playoffs in any sport, but we've had to be reintroduced to it in the NBA. Game 2, the Wolves in Memphis, and Sports to the Max will take you there. You're listening to Sports to the Max Special Extended Version on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Taking up to the Timberwolves game 2 with the Memphis Grizzlies right here on WCCO. The Twins and Kansas City Royals can be heard on the Wolf 102.9 or on the Odyssey app. Either one you can find there. It's an interesting matchup when the Wolves win game 1. We haven't said that very often in the history of the Timberwolves franchise. One person has been there for it all. His name is Jeff Muniki. He's worked at a number of different levels with the Timberwolves and corporate sales and sales and all-around good guys. Organized high school basketball games and tournaments. And he joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. The one and only Munes, that is Jeff Muniki. Thank you for joining us tonight, Jeff.
Maxie, how are you? Man, it's good to be on. And this is some good ways to release some nervous energy before that tip at 7:30, right? Wolves, I love it.
What do you remember about the first time the Timberwolves made the playoffs?
Oh, Maxie, I was just telling a couple guys about the story in the office the other day, and the very first time, and I'm always big on the first, you know, the first win in Timberwolves history, the first game, the first playoff, the first time we win. And so it was when we were playing the Rockets way back in the day, and had Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler and Scottie Pippen and all those guys. And if we recall, we decided we're going to bring Jesse Ventura.
I was wondering if you were getting to that story. We all sat at Target Center, but all of us were focused on the court. And explain what happened.
Oh, it was great. So we had Jesse repel, and he could do this back in the day before some WWE situations came up. But we had Jesse come out of the the scaffolding, and it was great. We had him drop down right in front of the Rockets bench, and he rips off his jean jacket, and he's pointing at his biceps. You want a piece of these, Barkley? You want some of these lateral deltoids, Drexler? And the Rockets bench was howling laughing.
They were
just on the floor laughing. So then what we did, we had Jesse trash talk for a little bit. Then we had one of my interns, actually, in the sales department, a big guy named Dan Haugland, who was about 6'8", about 280 pounds, former basketball player. And we had him dressed up like a Rockets fan that had a couple of too many drinks.
Yeah.
And we had him stumble onto the court towards the Rockets bench.
Yep.
And then we had Jesse turn and see him like he's the Rockets fan and then clothesline him to the court. The whole arena was nuts.
It was on fire.
It was so fun.
Yeah, and this is before Jesse was governor. It was, you know, a year or two before. In fact, that might have catapulted his career into the race. But I remember Barkley was just howling, laughing to see Jesse down there calling him out. It was a shot of WWE and the NBA, and it all came together there that night. The Wolves playoff life didn't last that long. And then they had a history, Jeff, of making the playoffs in first round and out before they got to 2004. But they'd make the playoffs every year, and Seattle would get them, or Portland would get them, or somebody would get them.
Yeah, you know, we had that string, and it's so fun because the next year, and if you remember, against the Rockets, we got beat 3-0, but Barkley is telling Steph and KG, just like, keep this thing together. You guys could be Stockton Malone forever. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And we kind of had a couple different variants into the next level for a team. But the one thing I'd say is that we made the playoffs for all those years, but until that Western Conference Finals year in 03-04, we were never favored. You know, we were playing a Tim Duncan San Antonio team.
Yeah.
We were playing Rasheed Wallace, you know, Scottie Pippen.
Gary Payton, the glove.
We were playing Sean Kemp, Gary Payton for Seattle. We were playing Dirk and Nash for Dallas. And so we were never favored. And so, unfortunately, we didn't get out of the Western Conference very far until that 03-04 season, which is still to this day, and hopefully we're going to repeat or go after it this year. Is that was those iconic days where we beat Denver in the first round, you know, went to game 7.
Carmelo Anthony was a rookie at the time.
Exactly. Had a great series with Denver, won 4-1, then had the epic series with Sacramento, which is awesome. Game 7 is still probably our most epic game in Timberwolves history.
Chris Webber for the win and just barely, right?
Just barely. Yeah. In fact, I was at the opposite corner standing right in front of Dan Barrero. In fact, it is pretty crazy because we were high-fiving all the media members, you know, down there in media row. We were just trying to find any spot we could to stand and watch. and where he released it, you're thinking, oh boy, that's good.
Bullseye.
And it rings out, and you know, the whole place goes bananas, of course. And then the Western Conference Finals, you know, Sam Cassell and Troy Hudson don't get hurt, and we always felt that we were a team that probably could have beat the Pistons for the championship. Now, we'll never know,
nope.
But that sure was a fun year.
Yeah, and in fairness, Sacramento went through that series without Bobby Jackson coming off the bench, and he was a key component for the Kings at the time, and it might not, you know, the Wolves may not have gotten by the semis had Bobby been healthy, of course, he'd have Gopher fame. Now, what is it like when a team turns, and you saw it in 03 and 04, and the fan base turns? How is it different at the office? What are the requests like? What are the incoming calls like?
Yeah, you know, we always say that when the team wins, the hot dogs taste better and the beer gets colder, right?
Yep.
You know, and there's no doubt that we always try to keep a really even keel place, never too high, never too low, because we as the front office, at least on the business side, we can't go make baskets, we can't make coaching decisions, we can't make defensive stops, but we can control us as personnel of how we treat our fans and creating a great experience, and that's what we lock into on a day-to-day basis. However, when you do win, there's no question there's a bounce in the step. And right now, it's so fun because it feels very organic. And just coming out of COVID and all the things that, you know, all our fans and everybody in society has been through the last couple of years, this just feels so good that we're welcoming people back to downtown into a raucous arena. Everybody's bouncing around downtown on game nights right now, and it helps that the Twins are coming back. It helps we're playing. You know, some bars and restaurants and businesses are starting to come back a little bit now. And you can definitely feel it. When we walk through the Skyway and go grab a bite to eat and we're wearing a Timberwolves hoodie, now we get some approval and some good nods of like, all right, here we go, guys. You know, keep it going, guys. Before it kind of be like, boy, it must be tough over there, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, it feels really good to walk through wearing your gear.
Jeff Muniki is our guest. Jeff, one of the things that you do is you work the Skyway on game nights, and you have a chance to see as this season has moved on and they become more and more crowded as ticket holders wait to get into the game. Two things on that. Number one is I always thought you can tell the fervor for a home team based on how many jerseys you see that are worn for the home team. You know, we've all seen the lean years where you'll see jerseys, but the jerseys have the opposing team's you know, star player and name on the back. This year you see more Timberwolves jerseys as they wait in line.
Oh, man, Max, I've commented on this a couple of times and even put it into some social media posts of just seeing the sea of blue and silver and white and gray, the Timberwolves jerseys, the Aurora green, and it is so fun because every once in a while you see now an opposing jersey, but the Ant jerseys are going like hotcakes, the you know, Carl Towns jerseys, Pat Bev's jerseys, and so now when you look around the crowd, it's just this sea of blue and silver and white, and it's so fun. And I know our merchandise retail operators are having a great time right now because they are really busy.
But in other words to the wise, if you're coming out Thursday night for the game with a 6:30 start, many people will kind of gingerly get over there, or they'll take their time. Don't take your time because it can get awfully congested in the Skyway if you get there too late or too close to game time, particularly with the 6:30 game. Can't emphasize enough, if you want to get in your seat, get there early, correct?
100%. And oftentimes, you know, you and I get a couple minutes to catch up. Oftentimes you're walking through to the media area and I'm on the Skyway green fans and helping direct traffic. And with that 6:30 start, I know folks want to get downtown and maybe have an extra hamburger, you know, maybe an extra beverage. That's fine. But make sure, I can't emphasize enough, get over to the building by 5:45. You don't want to wait till 6:10 or 6:15 because you think about it, we now have 4,000 more people coming into the upper level. That's 19,000 people. We need to get through those gates by the time the tip is at 6:30. So please come early. And also know there's some downtown construction too. And so depending on which direction you're coming from, on Hennepin between 5th and 7th, that's ripped up. You can't go through there. There are some restrictions on some of the streets in and around Target Center. So definitely give yourself ample time to get down there. And come into the building. We got some great spots to get some good eats there and just eat there, you know, and come down. It's going to be a great night.
And Saturday night will be a late night with the Wolves, huh?
Oh, my goodness. You know, 9 o'clock start. You know, I think one job that would be really good on Saturday would be a bartender in the warehouse district.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a great night that night. But again, don't wait too long. Don't wait till 8:45 to come in. You know, come in about 8:15. Make sure you get settled in you know, go have a beverage, grab a snack, grab some eats inside Target Center, and be ready to go.
Last, Jeff, you and I had a mutual friend by the name of Tom Hanneman, who is no longer with us, and of course he was such a big part of the Timberwolves franchise. He started when you started with the team, when the team became a team and played at the Metrodome with Bill Musselman as head coach back in the day. And Tom, we lost, of course, last year suddenly in the middle of the night to the heart attack, but I think of him often when I'm over at Target Center, because he really would have enjoyed this team. I think he really would have enjoyed Chris Finch, and he really would have enjoyed this ride.
Oh, 100%. And we miss Hanny dearly. And obviously, Maxie, you and I were very close with Hanny and his family. And, you know, we just miss him so much. And, you know, you get to see his photo when we renamed the media center under his name. So when you walk by and you get ready for game night, you can kind of, you know, kind of wink at that plaque that we have up for him down by the media area. And he would have loved this, and loved, I think, the personality of the team and just how gracious they are and how fun they are. I mean, this is a really likable team and a likable coaching staff. We're just having a great time, and Hanny would have loved it. You're 100% right.
Munes, appreciate it very much, my friend. I look forward to seeing you over there Thursday in the Skyway.
Thursday night, Maxie. Look forward to it. Come early, everybody, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. Jeff Municki, an original employee of the Minnesota Timberwolves and one of the all-time great guys in this sports market. How do you feel about tonight's game? 651-461-9226. How do you feel about this series? Are you a Timberwolves fan again? Did you ever leave this team? Do you believe that this team is good enough to beat Memphis and move on to the next round of the playoffs? 651-461-9226. Is this the best Timberwolves team in franchise history, talent-wise? Are they even better than the 2004 team? Good questions that everybody is talking about. Text us or call us, 651-461-9226. Timberwolves, Memphis, pregame at 7, tip-off at 7:30. We'll get you there on WCCO. All right, the ball's in your court. 651-461-9226. How far do the Wolves go? Do they win tonight? And why is this the best team in franchise history? Last night, I had a chance to catch up with Pooh Richardson. Pooh, of course, was the first-round pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves when they became a franchise back in 1989. Yes, Bill Musselman was the coach. Pooh Richardson, the point guard from UCLA, shared time at that position with Sidney Lowe. He has since, he played for the Los Angeles Clippers and other teams, but he's also studied this NBA game for a long time. He was back earlier this year to check out the Timberwolves, and he watches them quite attentively during the season, so he has a pretty good idea of where this team is at. He also observed Patrick Beverley for the Los Angeles Clippers for the last several years, so he understands what he brings to this table as well. We got some thoughts from Pooh Richardson.
Well, you don't have to be super on it, just being aggressive. Mm-hmm. If he's being aggressive and attacking and stay engaged, I know the playing game, a lot of people was talking about the playing game. He had fouls, and I was telling people, you know, don't worry about it because, you know, that's just a learning experience. He's still young. He's still a youngster as well. And talking about Edwards, you know, just let him just do whatever he's going to do. Just let him just run free. Let him run free, do whatever he's going to do, and let him be the guy he was at Georgia. So let him do his thing.
Pooh Richardson, assessing Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, he said also the key to it was Patrick Beverley came in, and he insisted that Karl Anthony Towns become the face of this team and that he become the alpha on this team. Towns took the ball and ran with it literally, he said. But he said the interesting concept that, or theory at least, that Richardson had was that Jimmy Butler tried to do the same thing. He tried to instill in Karl Anthony Towns they need to be tougher, stronger, play harder in the paint, all those things. But he says for whatever reason, Beverley was able to connect with him. As for Edwards, yeah, it's something to watch him in front of us. But you ask yourself, how do you coach a guy that has this much talent this early in his career? There are lots of different theories about that. Pooh Richardson offers his.
No question. That's part of developing a youngster, because what happens through the course of even a season or maybe a few seasons, he will learn what's a good shot, what's a better shot. You know, the difference between a good shot and a better shot is where you want to get him at. But because he has such great talent, you know, super athletic, you know, worked on his jump shot, you could tell he's been a little bit more consistent. And when you have to respect that, there's no one one-on-one going to hold him down because his athletic prowess is too good. So I think you just got to live with the good and the bad with him. But it's going to be more good than bad.
on Anthony Edwards, who will no doubt try to take over this game in spots tonight, but they will run it through Karl Anthony Towns. If you've got a thought on this game or a prediction you want to make, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, Game 2, the Timberwolves and Memphis Grizzlies. Just a reminder, the Minnesota Twins are playing on 102.9 The Wolf. That's FM 102.9 The Wolf. They take on the Kansas City Royals tonight. Chris Archer on the mound for the Minnesota Twins, making his second start. He was very good last week and intriguing to watch him. Be interesting to see what he can do with the Kansas City lineup tonight as he tries to reclaim his career. 651-461-9226, taking your calls. Wolves win 127-119. Anthony Edwards scores 44 points. That's optimistic, I think. Here's another one I got on my personal line. The Timberwolves will let us down because Minnesota teams always let us down once we get our hopes up. So I'm going to pretend that they didn't win game one. Ah, yes, it runs the gamut. The Memphis Grizzlies have their own X factor on the team, and he's got a local appeal to us. His name is Tyus Jones. Jones plays beyond John Morant, and when Morant went down this year, many say that Jones helped save the season and keep Memphis on the top end in the Western Conference. It's amazing to watch these kids play. Three from Apple Valley in the NBA this year. Tyus' brother Trey, of course, plays for the San Antonio Spurs, while Gary Trent Jr. plays for the Toronto Raptors. He's been sick this week, and his team has suffered as well. Some injuries and whatnot. They've lost the first two games to the Philadelphia 76ers in that best-of-seven series in the Eastern Conference, but three from the same team participating. Zach Goring was the head coach of that team. He'll join me on Thursday night and talk about what it's like to watch three players that you coach from the same high school team playing in the NBA. Jones will be asked to score from time to time. He'll also be asked to take the big shot from time to time. But his basic job is to spell Morant. Morant will be the key tonight. The Timberwolves will throw some different defenses at him, but they will continue to try to isolate him, get him one-on-one with D'Angelo Russell whenever they can, and get him to the basket. He has a chance to bring that FedEx Arena to life, and when he does, they become a very difficult team to play against. The other player that the Timberwolves will focus on tonight is Steven Adams, their big center. He gets paid $17 million a year, 6 feet 11 inches, 265 pounds. He's a good player, not a great player. But the Timberwolves' biggest concern is that he is bigger and stronger than most that they can throw at him. Jared Vanderbilt can try to compete with him, but when Adams gets in a groove, he can bump and grind, and he can make it difficult for both Karl Anthony Towns and Vanderbilt. As the Timberwolves have if there's a deficiency here, it is that they're light in the middle and light in the post. And that could go a long way to determining tonight's game, because early on here, the Memphis Grizzlies plan on sending a message. They will be physical with the Timberwolves. They will guard them on the perimeter, and they will make life difficult for Anthony Edwards as best they can early. The other key factor for them is Dylan Brooks. He came back from injury late in the season. He's a little bit nasty. He's a little bit like Patrick Beverley. He's a good player on the floor, but he also isn't afraid to mix it up. He never really got on track in game one, but a lot of people think that he's the key to carrying them if they can get to the Western Conference Finals for this team. His comeback and being inserted into the lineup is the key for this team the rest of the way. It'll be interesting to see who the Timberwolves use on him, how they try to defend him, and if he and Anthony Edwards go head-to-head often. Given their size and their wingspan, it becomes a very interesting matchup. Also, when he will calculate it, and he will be calculated in it, when he will decide to mix it up with the Timberwolves and when he will try to get under their skin to try to create some advantages, much the same way that Patrick Beverley does. Find out. It is the Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. A reminder, the Twins are on 102.9 The Wolf FM. But it's game two from Memphis. The pregame with Cal Soderquist not far away. Then at 7:30, the tip-off. Alan Horton with the call tonight, as he has each and every game this season and each and every game in the playoffs. It's getting fun, folks. Pull up a chair. The Wolves, Memphis, game two on WCCO.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.